Welcome to Making a Difference, episode 23, The Dems Go Full Throttle with Biden and Harris. Hi, I'm Eric Crossley, reporting from Charm City, Baltimore, Maryland, just outside Washington, D.C. And we're in mid-August, nearing the end of August, and Labor Day ahead. Election Day, November 3rd, just 2.5 months from now. Thanks for joining us. This is episode 23. And we want to thank our anchors, including Anchor, Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, SoundCloud, iTunes, Spotify, and people who are listening on Twitter and Facebook. Thanks so much for listening. One thing we wanted to mention, which we will follow up with in a show, an episode coming up soon, is that today, actually yesterday, the 18th and the 26th of August, depending on where you're reading, is the celebration of the 100th anniversary of the ratification of the 19th Amendment to the Constitution, which gave American women full voting rights. So whether it was August 18th, 19th, 26th, whatever day it was, we want to say a big congratulations to all women and a happy 100th anniversary of women's suffrage. Now, in reality, the 19th Amendment didn't even name women explicitly. Instead, it stated, quote, "The right of citizens of the United States to vote shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or any state on account of sex." So more or less saying, there's only two sexes, at least back then there was, and on account of sex, a person cannot be denied the right to vote, so women did get the vote. Now, there were a lot of problems with African-American women, Hispanic women, Asian Americans voting. The Voting Act, Rights Act of 1965, finally helped increase the number of African-American, Latino, Asian, and Native American women and secured houses, votes in the U.S. Senate and the U.S. House. This past week, of course, Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden chose California Senator Kamala Harris, a woman of both Black and South Asian heritage, to be his running mate for the upcoming election. So we want to congratulate her, and we want to say once again congratulations to all women on the 100th anniversary of women's suffrage. It took a while for all those votes to become workable, but by the 60s, 70s, and certainly into the 90s and today, women are moving up in politics, and we are very thankful for that because men have screwed things up so bad. Now, let's speak about what's going on this week. First of all, we want to talk a little bit about the number one issue week to week, and that is, of course, COVID-19 continuing. We have had some good news from the CDC over the past week, and that is that numbers seem to be stabilizing and even going down as far as total cases of COVID-19 in the United States and total deaths. We currently have about 169,870 fatalities recorded. That number is yesterday, so it's probably over 170 by now. Total cases about 5.5 million. Please keep in mind, healthcare personnel, 136,697 cases, 632 people in the healthcare industry have sacrificed their lives because of COVID-19 to help everybody else. And we really, really want to thank those people in the healthcare industry, especially anybody working out there right now to keep things going, especially in the medical field. Now, on a per capita basis, Florida suffered the biggest coronavirus death toll increase, and they're now at 5.9 deaths per 100,000 residents over the past week, followed by Mississippi at 5.6. The 50 U.S. states and the District of Columbia saw COVID deaths averaging 1,044 each day over the past week. They expect those numbers to drop to around 800 over the next few weeks. And then we don't know what will happen in the fall. So we'll keep our thoughts and prayers going for that. But keep in mind, folks, there are a lot of people out there still making sacrifices. And we hope that we will turn the corner and eventually get this pandemic completely under control. Now let's talk a little bit about what's going on. Actually, there's no convention going on as such, in that there's no national Democratic convention in a formal location. There won't be for the Republicans either. But they're going to have speakers. They're going to have a pseudo convention, a convention we watch online and on TV. And we've already seen a couple days of the Democrats. We wanted to talk a little bit about Michelle Obama because she was the first lady for 8 years, and she had some very interesting words to say about our current president. And let's hear right now from the former first lady, Michelle Obama.
So let me be as honest and clear as I possibly can. Donald Trump is the wrong president for our country. He has had more than enough time to prove that he can do the job, but he is clearly in over his head. He cannot meet this moment. He simply cannot be who we need him to be for us. It is what it is. Now, I understand that my message won't be heard by some people. We live in a nation that is deeply divided, and I am a Black woman speaking at the Democratic Convention. But enough of you know me by now. You know that I tell you exactly what I'm feeling. You know I hate politics, but you also know that I care about this nation. You know how much I care about all of our children. So if you take one thing from my words tonight, it is this. If you think things cannot possibly get worse, trust me, they can and they will if we don't make a change in this election. If we have any hope of ending this chaos, we have got to vote for Joe Biden like our lives depend on it.
Vote for Joe Biden like our lives depend on it. And folks, that's exactly what Michelle Obama was saying. Very, very articulate as always. The former First Lady talking about if we don't think things can get any worse. Well, frankly, I'm involved in politics and I know what's going on, and I think many of you may also, but a lot of people don't, and they may not quite yet understand just how much is at stake in this election. Michelle Obama also said there, quote, "It is what it is." And that's what our President Donald J. Trump said just a couple of weeks ago, because he was asked again about the numbers and about what's happening with COVID-19. And at that time, I think we'd lost over 150,000 people. And he didn't have what he said before, like it's going to get hot in April and everything will be fine. We had 15 people who were sick and then it'll disappear to nothing. This is all a fake Democratic hoax. All of these things. All the president said when asked about the COVID-19 crisis in early August was, all he said was, it is what it is, and that's what Michelle Obama said. Because between now and November 3rd, we're going to hear a lot from Donald Trump and from the Republicans, especially next week. And we know not to listen, because we know that everything that comes out of Donald Trump's mouth is a lie. And we know that his only concern is to get reelected. And if we don't think it can get worse than this, as Michelle Obama said, get real. It can get worse. She also said Trump is clearly in over his head. He's had more than enough time to prove he can do the job, but he is clearly in over his head. The President of the United States absolutely is in over his head, folks. And that's what Donald Trump has been for over 3.5 years now. This conference and this convention of the Democrats and the one next week of the Republicans really doesn't mean a lot, except for one thing. For those people who were not considering voting, or maybe they voted for Donald Trump last time, and they're having a lot of regrets about it now, almost 4 years later, and they're in swing states. These are the people we really need to get out to vote. Everybody needs to vote. And don't get me wrong, I still want people to vote. I don't care who you're voting for. Absolutely. If you're going to vote for Donald Trump, go out and vote for Donald Trump. But please, after you do that, get your head examined and try to figure out exactly what you were doing when you did that. We're also going to be hearing later on in this conference, in this convention, from, of course, the nominee, from the future president, we hope, of the United States, and also from the future vice president of the United States, too. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are going to be a great team, and we're looking forward very much to them being, at this time next year, in the White House and fixing everything that Donald Trump has broken in his 3.5 years. Now, I wanted to, I had a clip here from Miles Taylor. He's a former chief of staff, the Department of Homeland Security, in the Trump administration for 2.5 years. And Miles Taylor had some interesting words to throw out, some things to talk about. And so we thought we'd listen to him.
I'm Miles Taylor. I served as the chief of staff of the Department of Homeland Security under the Donald Trump administration. I would go into the office, I would read my intelligence brief, and then it was my job to help the Department of Homeland Security to keep our country safe. What we saw week in and week out, and for me after 2.5 years in that administration, was terrifying. We would go in to try to talk to him about a pressing national security issue, cyber attack, terrorism threat. He wasn't interested in those things. To him, they weren't priorities. The president wanted to exploit the Department of Homeland Security for his own political purposes and to fuel his own agenda. The California wildfires. On a phone call with the Federal Emergency Management Agency, he told FEMA to cut off the money and to no longer give individual assistance to California. He told us to stop giving money to people whose houses have burned down from a wildfire because he was so rageful that people in the state of California didn't support him, and that politically it wasn't a base for him. The policies at the border, he wanted to restart zero tolerance and separate families. He said he wanted to go further and have a deliberate policy of ripping children away from their parents to show those parents that they shouldn't come to the border in the first place. A lot of the time, the things he wanted to do not only were impossible, but in many cases illegal. He didn't want us to tell him it was illegal anymore because he knew that there were, and these were his words, he knew that he had magical authorities. He was one of the most unfocused and undisciplined senior executives I've ever encountered. I came away completely convinced, based on firsthand experience, that the president was ill-equipped and wouldn't become equipped to do his job effectively, and what's worse, was actively doing damage to our security. People who are still serving in this administration have said to me, just wait until the second term. It'll be no holds barred. It'll be shock and awe. We'll do what we want. Given what I've experienced in the administration, I have to support Joe Biden for president. And even though I'm not a Democrat, even though I disagree on key issues, I'm confident that Joe Biden will protect the country. And I'm confident he won't make the same mistakes as this president.
And that is Miles Taylor, former chief of staff, Department of Homeland Security in the Trump administration. 2.5 years he served that post. By the way, if you see the video of Mr. Taylor, you will notice that he looks very young. Now, if he's not pretty young, he's made himself look good, but he's a person that doesn't have, judging by his age, a ton of experience in the first place. However, this man went into this position, obviously making a lot of money, had a background of history, working in the Homeland Security area, and went in thinking that, well, you know what, I'm a Republican, I can work for this president because I can work with pretty much any president. And then he found Donald Trump. And he said what he saw week in and week out in 2.5 years in that administration was terrifying. Keep in mind what he said. Trump wasn't interested in pressing national security issues, cyber attacks, terrorism threats. None of them were priorities. He wanted to exploit the Department of Homeland Security for his own political purposes to fuel his own agenda. Obviously, that's what Donald Trump wants. He wants to fuel his own agenda, and he wants to do whatever works to make him successful and to help him get reelected and keep power. Because staying in power and keeping his fat face in front of everybody is the top priority for this president. Again, another quote from that little clip we played, talking about Donald Trump, quote, He was one of the most unfocused and undisciplined senior executives I have ever encountered. Now, most people say that have worked in the administration and gotten out say that that statement is actually kind of amazing because he's not one of the most unfocused and undisciplined. He is the most unfocused and undisciplined senior executive or maybe person that people have met. He simply doesn't have the brain power. He has the intelligence. He doesn't have the intelligence of a third grader anymore. We're thinking more like a three-year-old, and I apologize to all three-year-olds out there for saying that. This is a man who's the president of the United States. And again, keep in mind what was said by the former head of Department of Homeland Security. Right there, he said, the people in the administration said, quote, just wait until the second term. It will be shock and awe. We'll do whatever we want. That's exactly what this president would do and this administration would do. A second term would probably mean the end of the United States as we know it. And I would have said 10 years ago, if I was saying something like that today, that I needed to be committed, that I needed mental help. But that's exactly what happened. Now let's go on and talk about another interesting story. This all is tied in. And by the way, I got criticized on Facebook this week because I was so selfish trying to promote my show. And all I think about is myself. I'm not thinking about other people, about COVID. I've covered everything and all I've talked about is trying to help our country and help other people. And people on Facebook are getting recipes, food, 50 likes, 50 hearts. And I spend time, hours, thousands of hours of time researching and getting more information about what's going on and how this idiot's been destroying this country and what we have to do to save our country. I also talk about COVID-19. I also talk about Black Lives Matters. I talk about a lot of different issues. We're overwhelmed with things right now. We have to get this idiot out of office. Now, Donald Trump this week has made a request that he wants to meet with Vladimir Putin, his old buddy from Russia. Vladimir Putin, the president wants to meet with him before the election. The election is November 3rd. That's 2.5 months from now. Today is August 19th. So roughly 2.5 months from now. In that time frame, Trump needs to meet with Vladimir Putin. Why? Why does he need to meet with our enemy before the election? I mean, let's not make it look obvious, Mr. President, on exactly what you want from your lover, Vladimir Putin. But he's done it time and time and time again. This president has cozied up to Putin and to Russia, and he makes it quite clear. The president doesn't trust our intelligence people, but he trusts Russia and he trusts Vladimir Putin. So I decided to get some information about Donald Trump's former relationship with his lover, Vladimir Putin, and how far back that went. And we had a letter. This was back before the president was president, back in the old Trump Plaza days and Trump Organization. And the Trump building, which I think has been condemned at this point, and the banks have taken back everything. This was to President Vladimir Putin, and it was dated December 19th, 2007. From Donald Trump, the letterhead said, the Trump Organization. Now, this was, by the way, released by the people doing the Russia investigation. It is no longer classified. It never really was because he wasn't president at the time. So the president, current president, Donald Trump, said, dear President Putin, on December 19, 2007, congratulations on being named Time Magazine's Man of the Year. You definitely deserve it. As you probably heard, I'm a big fan of yours. Take care of yourself. With best wishes, Donald J. Trump. So Vladimir Putin, for some unknown reason, back in 2007, was Time Magazine's Man of the Year. And there were a lot of bad men of the year over the years. Of course, Adolf Hitler was man of the year once. And Trump, I think, was man of the year. So that shows you how bad they can get. But to think about that, just almost 13 years ago, the current president of the United States was kissing President Putin's, you know what, really just unbelievably. Now, also, I found another interesting one. This was from June 18th of 2013. So we went ahead about 6.5 years. This was on Twitter. And we can find plenty to talk about with Donald Trump on Twitter. But on Twitter, Donald Trump said, "Do you think Putin will be going to the Miss Universe pageant in November in Moscow? If so, he will become my new best friend." So now the president wants to meet with Vladimir Putin again. And that's before the election. And that's a red flag on top of 85 million red flags we've had already with this president and this administration. And frankly, Ronald Reagan is turning over in his grave so many times, he probably can't turn over anymore. And to think that the Republican Party one time was the party of democracy, of red, white, and blue, the party that loved America. We Democrats hated America. We were the enemy. We were against the United States. And now with Donald Trump in the White House and people like Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina kissing his behind and this president kissing the behind of Vladimir Putin, we don't know what to think, folks. Frankly, it's beyond belief. Now let's take a look at some actual good news. And this has to do with the post office, which we haven't talked about a lot. But of course, Donald Trump has been going crazy over the past several weeks with trying to pretty much make the post office inoperable. He's trying to put it out of business completely before the election. And that's because he doesn't want mail-in ballots. He doesn't want absentee ballots because they tend to go more for the other guy. Now, this year, everybody's going for the other guy for the most part. But nevertheless, he appointed Postmaster General DeJoy. This Postmaster General has been also very critical of the post office and said he wanted to dismantle it and kind of tear it apart. And so Trump really liked him because he didn't have any ideas to help the post office or to help them, let's say, maybe get everybody's vote in for this election. Postmaster General DeJoy suspended changes this week to the Postal Service to avoid any impact on election mail. So we want to give a congratulations, actually, to somebody in the administration. And this quote from the postmaster, who's been anti-post office his whole career, quote, "To avoid even the appearance of any impact on election mail, I am suspending these initiatives until after the election is concluded." The initiatives that Donald Trump and the Postmaster General DeJoy were trying to push forward included taking away on mail processing equipment and taking away blue mailboxes, removing those. All mail processing facilities will remain open. They were going to close many of those, and they weren't going to allow overtime. So basically, the post office wasn't going to be able to handle, especially with coronavirus, with COVID-19, everything that was going on. And DeJoy and the president decided, you know what? I think we'll not do that after all. Now, 18 states or more are still filing lawsuits against the Postmaster General over his policy changes. Pennsylvania Attorney Josh Shapiro, Attorney General Josh Shapiro, one of those mentioned in the lawsuit, said, quote, "I'll believe it when I see it," when he heard about what the Postmaster General said. Now, keep in mind, this president says a lot. He talks a lot. Anything that comes to his mind, he's like a five-year-old. Whatever comes to his mind, he just says it out of the blue. He doesn't think about the repercussions or whether it's true. Certainly doesn't think about whether it's true, because very little he says is true. And all this he's been saying about the post office and trying to destroy the election, even Republicans, hopefully, are not going to let that happen. But we'll have to see going forward what happens. For right now, that is our good news for this week regarding the post office and moving forward. Now, in making a difference, we also want to always go back and give you some quotes and some back information, because there's so much to go over the next few weeks before this election. In our next show, we are going to talk about what our future, hopefully future former president, our future president Biden has to say for the Democratic nomination. And we also want to talk some about what the other Democrats have had to say too. We were very impressed with Michelle Obama. There's a lot of great Democrats. I wanted to give a big thank you to Bernie Sanders on behalf of all Democrats. Bernie did not get the nomination this time, and he may be too old to get it the next time he's eligible. But I wanted to say Bernie Sanders has really inspired a lot of people on the left. I was not a Bernie fan as such, but I am a Bernie fan, and I support just about anybody who's not Donald Trump at this point and not a Republican. And that's pretty much where we are in 2020. Now, let's give a couple of quotes as we wrap up this show. This just to remind us some of the wonderful quotes that we're going to be continuing to talk about all the way until November 3rd, and that is Election Day, Tuesday, November 3rd, folks. This is from the Boston Globe. We've said it before, August 16th, 2018. Quote, "Today in the United States, we have a president who has created a mantra that members of the media who do not blatantly support the policies of the current U.S. administration are the enemy of the people. This is one of the many lies that have been thrown out by this president, much like an old-time charlatan threw out magic dust or water on a hopeful crowd." Now, the president said just a few days ago, by the way, that he has some kind of magic powers. I'm not sure what that was all about. But that's important to keep in mind. That was 2 years ago. And also, we're going to be playing some of our older shows from the other program we did. This is episode 23 of Making a Difference. But we had 99 episodes, and we will have a 100th episode of It's Time to Talk and Act. That 100th episode will be right around, if not on Election Day. And hopefully that and our episode of our regular show will be to celebrate a new president. Let's hope that happens. Keep in mind, folks, and we've said this before and we'll say it again, the time between November 3rd, Election Day, or whatever day soon thereafter we have the final results, and Inauguration Day, January 20th, 2021, is quite a long time. That's 2.5 months that we still will have Donald J. Trump as our president, even if Joe Biden and Kamala Harris win this election. Now, we count on that happening, but we want to keep that in mind also. So it's a tiered process. It's a step-by-step process. It's one we want everybody to keep in mind and keep fighting for, even after the election happens. We'll finish up with Vice President Pence, because I honestly, Vice President Pence, again, he was the head of the now apparently defunct coronavirus task force the president appointed, even though Vice President Pence had zero experience dealing with pandemics or health or medicine or anything. But let's go back to Vice President Pence, because he said in February 2002, this is the man that was put in charge of the coronavirus task force. He said, quote, in 2002, "Well, I just simply believe the only truly safe sex," Wolf, that's Wolf Blitzer on CNN, "as the president believes, is no sex. The other part is that, frankly, condoms are a very, very poor protection against sexually transmitted diseases." That is your current vice president, Vice President Pence, and I really am excited to hear the vice presidential debate when Kamala Harris and him debate. The vice president who thinks, just in 2002, thought the best way to tell young people, the best thing you can do is just tell them, let's just not have sex, and that way everything's safe. One of the stupidest people ever to be vice president is vice president to the stupidest man to ever be president in the United States and the biggest traitor in our history. I'm Eric Crossley. Thanks for listening. We're excited to be launching a new version of the show coming Labor Day weekend. We'll have more about that. Thanks so much for listening to everybody. And keep it up, folks. Hang in there. This is not the end. We'll be back next week with a new show. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Eric Crossley. Have a great day.